Today's scriptures, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. And the message is entitled, "Where Are You Standing and Looking?" Now, I think this scripture needs some introduction. We have before us this morning an amazingly rich portion of scripture. In fact, I've decided that there's so much here that we're going to need 2 weeks to cover it. Because it's an historical story, it's a little surprising to find about how much theology is embedded in this narrative. But considering that, it really has not been preached very often. Preachers have been unwilling to tackle it. Maybe it's because there are a lot of tricky Old Testament names, which you'll hear in a few minutes, and I'll ask for a little grace if I happen to stumble over a couple of them. God is the central character, but the primary human actor is King Jehoshaphat. Now, I think his name's kind of fun to say, Jehoshaphat. You may remember that the Israelites had clamored for a king so they could be like other nations. Saul was the first king, with King David to follow. David's son, Solomon, it was the one that had the privilege of building God's holy temple there in Jerusalem. Sadly, strife and conflict are already commonplace in Israel. In the next generation, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah splits. No longer one. They split. And the kings lead the nations astray, away from God. There's a lesson, a sermon in there too. Our leadership leading us away from God. But King Jehoshaphat, like his ancestor David, had a heart for the Lord. Nevertheless, he finds the nation under a great threat. And that brings us to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in the first verse. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord and proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, you are not the God. Are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came up from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazaziah, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy, inspired word. Inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out. It does not return to you void. Lord, we take this scripture today. We ask the Holy Spirit to bless us with insight and discernment, and then to give us a heart to assimilate, to take in what you reveal, and to help transform us into what we should be. Lord, bless our time in your word. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this isn't the end of the story. It goes on, but I'm sure you're going to be so excited that this week you're going to go back and read it on your own. And you better, otherwise I might read it to you next week. All right. So where are you standing and looking? Well, there was a great American evangelist named R.A. Torrey, and he said this: "The reason many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle." Anticipate your battles, fight them on your knees before temptation comes, and you will always have victory. Now, the natural human behavior is to wait until we have a health crisis before we look at our habits, right? When the guy goes to the hospital with a heart attack, that's when he starts considering what he's feeding his body, right? Then we embrace an active lifestyle over a sedentary lifestyle. We wait until we are surrounded by the enemy to cry out to God. We wait until evil abounds, when evil is called good and good is called evil, before we look to the cross of Christ in humility and in faith. There was a Reverend Hugh Hughes who preached on this scripture, and I'm going to read you a paragraph from his message. He quotes the Bishop of Durham. He says, "The Bishop of Durham said, 'The churches of England were indebted to the Salvation Army, because they, the Salvation Army, had revived the consciousness of the great fact that the Church of God was an army, and that our great business as a country is war, not with one another, but with all human misery. What must we do? Praise the beauty of holiness. If we go forth to war, we must do it as Jehoshaphat. We must be clothed with the spirit of holiness.'" So where does Reverend Hughes get that idea? Well, in 2 Chronicles 17, it tells you a little bit about King Jehoshaphat. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years, he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of the Father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. He sent his officials to teach in the towns of Judah from the book of the law of the Lord. So the king sent out his officials to go out and teach God's law from the scriptures. And because of that, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah. So this is a couple chapters before what we're reading about this vast army coming to attack. So God has already been working. King Jehoshaphat has already been following God's lead and working, leading his nation, preparing them. John Wesley and those with him at Oxford saw, after reading the Bible, that holiness comes by faith. Our great mission is to spread scriptural holiness. If we march forth to war with confidence in the spirit of holiness, we shall triumph even without fighting. So I ask you, where are you standing? Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. He stood among the people. The king led in worship at the temple of God there in Jerusalem, a holy place. The chosen people gathered together to worship God. Verse 9, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we'll cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. That one verse is, that's a sermon by itself. Standing in God's presence. When we are in God's presence, things happen. When God is present, revival happens. Hearts are changed. People are convicted and converted. This temple, of course, remember that God designed it in very specific detail. How it was to be constructed, all the dimensions, all the furnishings. God gave it very explicit instructions on how his temple, the house of God, should be designed. And has he not done the same thing for the body of Christ, the church? God's name encompasses so much, including his presence. We read these verses here and in other places about being in God's presence and doing things and God's name being representative of who God is. We see that they are inextricably mixed, right? God's presence in the name of God. And Jesus said, if we pray in his name, right, that he will be with us, that he will be present. So there's an inexplicable intertwining. And just to be sure I was using the right word, I looked it up. And I will share with you the meaning of inextricable. That one cannot extricate himself from, that cannot be disentangled or untied. So complicated or involved as to be insolvable. God's presence and the name of God are that intertwined and connected. They cannot be separated. That gives more meaning to the Lord Jesus' admonition that we should pray things in his name. And if we pray in his name and in his presence, our prayers will be heard and our prayers will be answered. Verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. All. It says all. In the Greek, that means what? All. Okay. And they were leading their families. They were there with their wives and children and little ones, even the babies. They brought them all. And they stood in the presence of God. Not a popular subject today, but men, husbands, you are to be the spiritual leaders in your families. Lead. Demonstrate your faithfulness. And then your children will follow in your footsteps. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of, as he stood in the assembly, right? The Spirit of the Lord. You know that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was given in certain situations for certain purposes, for certain durations. Since Pentecost, all believers have the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit. But still, there is a manifestation of the Spirit in addition to that. And we see here that it comes upon this priest as he's gathered together in the assembly, right? In the assembly. He's not all off by himself, but where people's hearts are gathered together and they're of one mind and one heart and they're seeking the same things. God honors and works in those situations. Verse 17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Another verse that would be a whole new sermon by itself. Take up your positions. Go to where God sends you. Go to the place where the enemy can be confronted. Requires obedience. Requires fortitude. Requires a willingness to engage in conflict on behalf of the Lord. He told them where to go, where to stand, and to stand firm, right? Don't waver. And see the deliverance of the Lord. God will be doing the work. God has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Lord Jesus said, I will be with you till the end of the age. And we will be delivered. Over and over again, we are told not to be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord will be with you. Then some of the Levites stood up and praised the Lord with a very loud voice. Again, they are standing up before all the people, and in a loud voice, they are praising God. They are worshiping God with vigor. With how much vigor do we worship God? We're uncomfortable doing that a lot of times. Try going to a charismatic church, a Pentecostal church, right? People are not as inhibited, right? We might say they're less dignified. But over and over in Scripture, we see how praising God exuberantly is lifted up. King David danced before the Ark of the Covenant, right? That's the example. We are called to worship with our whole heart, with vigor. Verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, King Jehoshaphat stood. The king is getting ready. They're getting ready to go out. The king stands up and he says to him, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith and his prophets, and you will be successful. They're getting ready to go out to battle, right? God says, get in position. I will bring you deliverance. But you still have to go out there and be there to witness what I'm going to do. Have faith in God. The God that is not a man. He cannot lie. And have faith in his prophets. Those who speak to the people on behalf of God. A preacher should be a prophet. Not as in trying to predict the future, but as in proclaiming the word of God. Right. Have faith in God. Have faith in his prophets. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Seek his face always. Now we must consider how we are to come to God. What is the proper mindset? What is the proper heart set to come before the Lord? Deuteronomy 4:29. Even in exile, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. We are to come to God, to our God, in humility and in faith. Right? The opening verses here. Verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. He was intentional. That there's a problem. What's the first thing we do with a problem? Go to God. Usually, we try to figure it all out on our own, and when everything that we try fails, then we go to God. We need to flip that. Go to God. Resolve to always go to God. Inquire of God first. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago, the people fasted. They sacrificed. They cleansed themselves to prepare, to humbly prepare themselves to hear from God. For we have no power, verse 12, no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Where are you looking? Where are you looking to solve your problems? Where should our community look to solve our problems? Where should our government look to solve our problems? Our eyes should be on the Lord. We have no power. We're coming before God and we're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you because I know you are sovereign and I am not. That's not saying that's not things I'm supposed to do. But it is saying that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers work in vain, right? Our eyes are upon God. For he is the one with the power, the wisdom, the control that can bring about his purposes. Alexander McLaren preached, this meaning of all circumstances that force our helplessness on us is to open to us Jehoshaphat's refuge in his own eyes. Our eyes are upon thee, Lord. We need to be driven by the crowds of foes and dangers around to look upwards. Our props are struck away that we may cling to God. The tree has its lateral branches hewed off that it may shoot up heavenward. When the valley is filled with mist and swathed in evening gloom, it is the time to lift our gaze to the peaks that glow in perpetual sunshine. Wise and happy shall we be if the sense of helplessness begets in us the energy of desperate faith. For these two, distrust of self and glad confidence in God, are not opposites, as naked distrust and trust are, but are complementary. He does not turn his eyes to God who has not turned them on himself. And seeing there's nothing to which to cling, nothing. on which to lean. So the king stands before all these people, leads them in worship in the presence of God. And then in 18, we are told that Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, all the way down. He puts his nose into the dirt. All the people follow suit. It says they fell on the ground in worship before the Lord. I've never been in a church that did that. They fell on their knees before God in total submission and humility, falling down before the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 3. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So, as I wrestled with the scripture this week, I could see lots of things that apply today. But there was something about this repeated emphasis of standing up before the Lord in the presence of God and worshiping again and again. This idea of standing. And eventually it was impossible for me not to come to Ephesians 6, starting the 10th verse, putting on the armor of God, about another battle, a battle that's been going on since Adam and Eve was confronted by the serpent in the garden, a spiritual war that we are part of as the body of Christ, the army of God. Finally, be strong, not of yourself, but in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit, capital S, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. God will bring the victory. We need to put on the armor of God, to embrace the holiness of God, and to stand, and to stand firm. There'll be many things that will come our way that will try to move us from our stand. To tell you that the Bible is outdated, that God is a fairy tale like the tooth fairy, that your ideas are antiquated, that what God says about marriage and family and truth and sin is old-fashioned and antiquated, and now it doesn't have any relevance today. It's from the devil. We are called to stand together in the assembly, brothers and sisters in the faith, to encourage one another, exhort one another. And when we stumble, which every one of us will, to help them up. we are to come before God in humility, unashamedly throwing ourselves on the mercy and grace of a great God, and to celebrate the fact that we are God's children, and he has promised to never leave us or forsake us. So when the vast armies of this world come against us, the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver us. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. This is a scriptural prayer for revival from Praying with Fire on this scripture. Gracious Father, to the degree I seek you will be the degree I experience you. Send revival. I need you and I seek you with all my strength and might. Let me be constantly aware of a world that opposes you and your people. Amidst all the challenges of the world, show me the importance of seeking you. Father, let me understand when fear rises in my heart, it is a call to seek you. Thank you for your promises, protection, and provision. Teach me dependency on you. In the face of adversity, teach me to seek you first and always. Drive me to my knees. Just as Jehoshaphat called a fast, Father, allow me to know when to fast individually and when to call a corporate fast. Father, I volunteer for your word to judge me. Show me myself in the light of your word. Use your preacher, whomever you choose, to proclaim your word to me. Let meekness be my attitude so I can receive your word. Let me yield to your word. I ask your help. Lord, teach me to ask you for help, but do not let pride prevent me from allowing people to help me if you choose to work through them. Show me those things that distract me from you and allow me by faith to yield them to you. You are a mighty God. You are all powerful. You are sovereign. You are in control of everything. Thank you for your mighty acts on my behalf and on behalf of your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your deliverance. Oh Lord, teach me to fear you. Even in a disaster, let me seek you. Let me not forsake the church, the body of Christ. Let your church stand before you, just as Jehoshaphat did. Let us stand before you so we also can hear you and know your truth. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I yield myself to you. Keep me sensitive to your spirit for your glory, not mine. Increase my faith and understanding of your word. Amidst opposition and turmoil, let me be still so I can hear your voice. Teach me, Lord, what it means to position myself in you, and let me claim your promise. I bless your name. I praise you. Lord, I seek you. I bow before you. Not just at church, but throughout the day and each day. Let me bow before you, even in front of others, because you are my God. Let me worship you. Send revival and let it begin in me. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Amen.